This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. And WBUR's business and technology reporter Kurt Nickisch is here with us. Hey, Kurt.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going great, Kurt. And a little later this segment, I just want to tell everybody, we're going to do a little brainstorming about what business people, policymakers, and other leaders would need to do to create, let's call it, a vibrant red line innovation zone.
Corridor, maybe.
Okay, you better trademark that. It's a good name.
I can already see the signs. America's technology subway, not highway, but subway.
So we're thinking about what's happening along the red line because of a story you reported this morning, Kurt, about a real estate squeeze in Kendall Square, right?
Yeah, so everybody knows Kendall is sort of the place where Greater Boston's knowledge economy is centered. It's got this long, famous history of innovation, but the way that the tech sector is evolving nowadays, Kendall's kind of going corporate. At this hour, Novartis is breaking ground on its biomedical research campus expansion, more than a 500,000 square feet of office space. It's just the latest drug or internet giant to expand in Kendall. Google, Microsoft, Amazon, Pfizer, Biogen IDEC, they're all expanding there. And Kendall is really sort of evolving into a center for corporate research and innovation. It's only a mile square, and there's really only so much room.
Okay, so that leads to a lot of questions, and some of which you definitely answered in your report this morning. So let's listen to a little bit of that.
The supply is really marginal in reality. These tenants are fighting over the same space.
Don Domoretsky with the commercial real estate brokerage Jones Lang LaSalle says rents are rising fast. Lab space is up more than 10% from a year ago. Domoretsky is standing at a building site outside Kendall. The construction company Skanska is putting up 123,000 square feet of lab space.
I'm Sean Hurley. I'm an executive vice president at Skanska. We're at 152nd Street. This is the location of our new speculative lab project. Speculative means we didn't have any tenants when we started.
That's almost unheard of in today's tight credit market. Skanska is spending $70 million to build this without any tenants lined up to move in. And it's supposed to be done in October, but Hurley is not worried.
Even if you think of the high cost of the real estate in this area, you know, all these firms still find it necessary to be here. And so that's really why we built the building.
The rising demand for space is forcing many companies to move out, including the one right across the street.
Johnny Cupcakes in Highland Capital. Shoot to Kill in Cambridge Innovation.
It's the last day at the office for Scavenger. The mobile payment company is leaving in style as its lease runs out. It's holding a paintball tournament. Pink splats plaster the whiteboards that used to show sales targets and concepts for new smartphone applications. It's a fun way to go out for Michael Hagen, the company's chief operating officer, but it's also bittersweet.
Kendall was great to us.
Hagen wanted to keep Scavenger in Kendall. Instead, it's moving down the red line to downtown Boston.
Unfortunately, our needs from space and just what we could find in the time we needed it, there was nothing over here that could accommodate. So we got a great deal in Boston, and the space is amazing. The views are amazing. It's going to be conducive to grow from, you know, the 130 we have now to 1,000. So it's going to be great.
And that's an excerpt from a report by WBUR's Kurt Nickisch, who's with us in the studio. And Kurt, that last company we heard about, Scavenger, moving out to Boston, your piece tomorrow follows other companies that are doing the same thing.
Yeah, so I hinted at it there. They're moving down the red line. They're just a short walk over from the Charles MGH stop. And what's really fascinating about this trend is that all these companies that are moving out still want access to the same people that, you know, are sort of drawn to Kendall's entrepreneurial energy. And so they're really spreading out from Kendall Square, and they're taking the T. And, you know, there's the reason for that is just that. I mean, in my story tomorrow, you'll hear Jennifer Fremont Smith. She's the CEO of an internet company called Smarterer. Not very radio friendly, but that's what it's called. And here's what she told me about, you know, deciding to locate your startup somewhere.
The red line is important. And that's because a lot of the people that we hire and that I think work in companies of this stage are people who live in like Somerville and Cambridge. or Back Bay. That's where they sort of live in this line.
And so if you want to have access to people along that line, you need to be on that line. And that's why companies are really stringing themselves along the red line. They're clustering at Alewife. There are startups taking over spaces in the Leather District downtown, moving into spaces vacated by financial services firms. The Seaport is just a quick walk over from the South Station stop. Fremont Smith, has her company at the Broadway stop.
So, Kurt, this is exactly the reason why we got thinking about the idea of a red line innovation corridor, because as you're reporting, it seems to be happening organically already. Innovation centers are popping up, so are the startups in Cambridge, downtown Boston, the Seaport. But here's what I wonder. What would it take to give the area a cohesive identity, one that's even more irresistible to innovators than it already is? And listeners, here's what I mean. When you say Silicon Valley, everyone knows what you're talking about. It has an intrinsic meaning. So what could we do here so that when someone says the red line, people everywhere, regardless of where they live, think, yeah, that is the place where world-class innovators are from and flock to? Call us with your ideas at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. As we mentioned, WBR's business and technology reporter Kurt Nikisch is with us. And joining us now is Tim Rowe. He's founder and CEO of the Cambridge Innovation Center. It's the largest facility in the United States, dedicated to housing early stage technology business. He's also been recently asked by Boston Mayor Thomas Menino to do something very similar south of the Charles River in Boston. Tim Rowe, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, so let me just ask you the big dream question that I asked the listeners just now. 5 years from now, let's say, what does the innovation ecosystem along the red line look to you? What would you like it to look like, and how would we get there?
Well, first of all, we should realize that we're in a great place to start with. It sounds like this is that was presented as a problem, but really this is a great problem to have. We have more startups here per square mile than any other place on the planet. People don't realize this, but we have more venture capital here per capita than in Silicon Valley. People somehow think that they're ahead on this. What we see is that a lot of the older buildings, a lot of the buildings that are along the red line that may be vacant in some places that have not been very active, suddenly will start getting active. These will turn into thriving centers for entrepreneurship.
So it sounds like maybe we can actually further leverage strengths that we have here in the Boston, Cambridge area. I mean, with all these old buildings that already exist, you don't have to really build from the ground up. And the fact that we are, say, more densely populated than other parts of the country, you don't actually have to travel very far to, Kurt, as you've been talking about, to rub elbows with fellow entrepreneurs. These are strengths.
Yeah. I mean, the interesting thing about Kendall is really it was an old industrial area. You know, Kendall was named after a boiler company. And startups like to go into these industrial spaces because they like to work with each other collaboratively. They want to be in these places where they can work together and bounce ideas off of each other. It's the same reason that the Seaport is so interesting. Those loft spaces that have always been interesting to the designers there around Fort Point and the architectural firms, they're the ones that are really attracting startups right now.
Tim Rowe, let me ask you about Boston's Public Innovation Center. Mayor Thomas Menino, as we mentioned, has asked you to head that up. And we've got a little bit of tape here from the mayor. Here's his vision for the center.
It's a place, for a meeting place where people who are who work in that area or want to come into the area, they have a place to meet and discuss their proposals. And that's what it's all about.
Tim, I hope this doesn't sound too cheeky, but meeting spaces, I feel like that's what coffee houses are for. So what is this Public Innovation Center going to do that maybe you just can't, meeting at 1369 on Mass Ave?
Sure. We're fortunate to have a very concrete example of this. When Microsoft came to town, they built the New England Research and Development Center, affectionately known as NERD, and created about 20,000 square feet of meeting space that they opened up to the entrepreneurial community. People weren't sure what impact that would have, and we've been amazed at the impact it's had. Probably 400 or 500 different networking groups have held their gatherings there. Turns out you can't do that in a coffee shop in at all, really. They don't really want people coming in droves, sitting there and talking for hours. They'd rather have you come and go and, you know, get some coffee. So Microsoft has shown that having a powerful central meeting space can be transformative in this community, getting people to connect. Mayor Menino saw that. He also knew that Microsoft was booked out for 2 years.
Uh-huh.
And he said, what can we do to add more of this to the community?
Yes, I'm just going to out you. You've broken the radio studio rule and having your phone on, but that's okay. Hey, we're talking about technology entrepreneurs, so I'll cut you some slack. Kurt, did you have something to say about that?
Yeah, I think one thing that may be a little different in the question I'd like to ask is if you don't have companies based there already, if you know this new public innovation center, unlike the Nerd Center, is not going to have companies based there. And so I just wonder, you know, do you lose a little bit of that critical mass? How do you make it happen?
Well, I do think that getting everyone together into one place is the key. What we believe is that the money that's out there, the ideas that are out there, the talent that's out there can't really gel unless people know each other. You know, we call this building community or collaborating. And it's usually physical places, places where people can come together face-to-face that tend to make this happen. In the Boston area, we're fortunate to have a number of kind of weekly and monthly gatherings where this happens, but there's really no substitute for the serendipitous, walking down the street, running into an investor. Hey, what are you working on these days? That, by the way, is Boston's big advantage over the Valley. It takes 2 hours to drive from one end to the other of Silicon Valley, and people just don't run into each other on the streets. They barely have sidewalks there.
As much as you can complain about the red line, it does not take most days it doesn't take two hours to get from Kendall to
Seaport. And certainly one of the reasons people like Kendall is that just walking down the street, this will happen. I think there will be more clusters like that in Boston along the red line stops. I think Kurt's got it right.
Well, we are talking about what it would take to, say, create a red line innovation corridor, whether formally or informally. It seems to already be happening organically. And entrepreneurs, have you set up shop anywhere along the red line? And specifically, where and why or why not are you thinking about going elsewhere? And what would it take for you to, say, want to move to a Boston-based innovation center if you can't get your foot in the door in Kendall Square in Cambridge? Call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. I'm speaking with Kurt Nikisch. He's WBUR's business and technology reporter. He's been reporting about this today and tomorrow on Morning Edition. And Tim Rowe, he's the founder and CEO of the Cambridge Innovation Center. I want to bring in one more voice into this conversation briefly. Her name is Diane Hessen, and she's president and CEO of Communispace, one of the fastest growing social networking companies in the country. Diane Hessen, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
It's great to have you. So I understand that you've moved your offices to the Fort Point neighborhood just a couple of years ago. What prompted you to pick Boston over Cambridge, first of all?
Well, you know, we actually just moved on Halloween, so we're relatively new to the Innovation District. But it's funny, a couple of years ago, because actually we signed our lease several years ago, and it just took a while for our building, which is at Atlantic Wharf, actually to be finished. And you know, we were basically looking for more space. We were in Watertown. We needed about 80,000 square feet, and it just wasn't there. So our office manager made a map of where all of our employees lived.
Uh-huh.
And it was very interesting. We found out that, you know, that like 90% of our employees lived within 5 miles of the office. Some of them were in Somerville or, you know, Cambridge or places that you'd expect. Many of them were in the western suburbs. And when we looked at what would be easiest from a commuting point of view, we said, aha, the red line. This is going to be the easiest way for everyone to get in. And so we started looking along the red line. There was no room in Kendall Square. And so we said, why don't we try to get close to South Station?
Diane, let me ask you. So this sounds like a really smart business move. You're keeping your employees happy by reducing their commute or making it more manageable. But on the other hand, we heard Kurt say earlier, and also Tim, that startups and people who work for startups, the brain power, they like to bump into each other sort of serendipitously. Are you getting enough of that being in the Fort Point neighborhood today? Or is that something you think that, you know, you'll be one of the anchor businesses that gets that ecosystem going even more?
Yeah, that's a great question, because, you know, when the whole idea was to move into the city so that we could have that serendipity, the energy, the sense of community. And I will tell you, when we signed the lease, I went down to the area. I called my CFO from the street and I said, you've got to be kidding me. What are we doing? This place is dead. And I said to him, you know, You may not remember this, but Frank McCourt sold 24 acres of parking lots to buy the Los Angeles Dodgers. He wanted to get out, and it's dead. I mean, Fidelity's here. Foley Hoag, the law firm, is here. There might be one or two other companies, but this is not going to be the exciting place that we really wanted. So Gary, our CFO, said to me, you know, Diane, but they have big plans. It really is supposed to be great. And we just decided to move forward. It felt very much like a startup, except for this time it was an urban startup.
An urban startup. Diane Hessen is the president and CEO of Communispace Corporation. They are based in the Fort Point neighborhood in Boston. Diane, thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure.
We've got a lot of callers, gentlemen, who want to join us. I want to bring a couple of them in. Ben is calling from downtown Boston. You're on the air, Ben.
Oh, hi. Great to be on the radio.
What's your thought?
Yeah, so actually my thought is I actually run a startup out of MIT based off of my PhD research, and we were actually originally looking for office space in the Kendall Square area, obviously, but we ended up actually having to go to South Station, which has been a nice change of pace, but as we've been growing actually over the past year, we've really been looking to move back into Kendall, but when you look at spaces for between 15 and 30 people, either in Kendall, they're really expensive and they want you to sign long leases, or pretty much actually all across, we've been looking at the Red Line, but we've been getting outbid by sort of mom-and-pop companies that are signing, like, you know, 5 to 10-year leases, which we can't compete with. And I think that's just a major problem for all companies. As you move out of the initial, like, incubator stage that maybe something like the Cambridge Innovation Center has to sort of a more longer-term company but with high growth potential.
I see. That's a good, interesting point, Ben. I'm going to turn that to Tim Rowe in just a second here. Thank you so much for your call, but I also want to get in Michael, who's calling from Walpole. You're on the air, Michael.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call.
No problem. What's your thought today?
Well, I just had a question. I'm a young entrepreneur. Currently have a team making an iPhone app, and we're looking to move into the Boston area, and I'm just wondering if there's any tax incentives or really any incentives to help us get space in Boston. It's, to me, I've grown up in the city and I'd love to move into Boston. I think it has a real potential to be a global center for the technology industry.
Michael, thank you so much for your call. Tim, let's take those issues backwards. Tax incentives that Michael's asking for?
Yeah, you generally see tax incentives in places where they're desperate to get startups and they're not getting any. Boston's doing great now, and so it's not offering tax incentives to my knowledge. There are other kinds of incentives, such as the community that's building there. But I would say, you know, that probably the most important thing for a startup is not the rent cost, which is usually, 5% of its overall costs. It's the success of the startup, and that tends to be driven by the talent it can attract, and that tends to be driven by being in the right places.
Mm-hmm. Well, then Ben was asking, what happens to those companies that are maybe just beyond the initial startup phase? They're moving into a secondary phase of their lives as a company, and then they start having to compete for real estate amongst the other bigger businesses and the really big boys, as Kurt was talking about earlier, in terms of corporate real estate.
This is indeed what's keeping me up at night. What typically is the case for a 10 or 15 person startup is that they don't have the clout to get a traditional landlord to give them a long-term lease in a big building. Those guys don't really like startups. They're kind of young. They don't really have credit. They go out of business regularly. And so there needs to be a market clearing function, if you will, for startups to get more startups into the area. We're working on this really hard in my company, I know others are, to try to get some of these old buildings converted over to be, if you will, larger versions of Cambridge Innovation Center.
Hey, Kurt, let me ask you, one thing that you brought up in your report today, which really stuck with me, is that part of the reason, well, the big reason why there's a squeeze in Kendall Square is because so many of these big-name corporations are moving in or expanding. On the other hand, I mean, some of those companies are really essential when it comes to nurturing an overall innovation ecosystem. You know, you want to have Microsoft, you want to have Google here. Maybe, is it possible that we should be trying to encourage those companies to not all cluster around Kendall and look at the rest of the Red Line as places to go?
I think, I mean, for sure, right? I mean, and
Tim Rowe just said good luck.
It's also, well, it's, but you see Vertex, you know, move from Cambridge and all their spaces around MIT down to the Seaport District. It's funny because a lot of these startups have love-hate relationships with these big companies because, number one, they're raising rent. It's also great to be around and to actually be able to run into people who work there and for these companies to see you, right? Because, you know, one way you might cash out is actually get acquired by these companies. But they also realize it's a lot more competition for the same software developers, the same talent coming out of the universities. And so not only are rents going up, but so are, you know, the salaries of those software engineers. So it's like, you know, it's just a, like Tim said before, it's a great problem to have. It is sort of raising the level. It's also raising the cost for startups.
Tim Rowe, we've just got about a minute left to go. You're working on an innovation center in Boston. What do you, in the next, you know, couple months to a year, what would you like to see happen in the immediate term?
Well, so in the Innovation Center in Boston, it's roughly November, we're going to start seeing more of a vibrant on the street, walking around community of entrepreneurs than we've seen before. And we're excited to be part of that. That's nearly, probably 5 months away from now. Mm-hmm. So look forward to a real change. Some of the things that Diane was looking for in that neighborhood starting to happen.
They are coming. Tim Rowe is founder and CEO of the Cambridge Innovation Center. Tim Rowe, thank you so much for joining us. And Kurt Nikisch is WBUR's business and technology reporter. You'll have another chapter of this report, another part of this series tomorrow morning on Morning Edition, right? Yeah,
exactly. Thanks for having me.
And also, there's an interactive map of businesses and activities happening along the Red Line. We've got a link to that at radioboston.org. Coming up, we'll get some ideas for things to do this weekend from our contributor, Jim Sullivan. And we'll hear about our latest zip code story winner. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty with Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.